And this music is a dream come true for guitarist Ry Cooder. Cooder's name has become synonymous with Cuban music since he produced the Buena Vista Social Club in 1997. That group and the CD have Cuban music drifting through the airwaves all around the globe. In 2001, Ry Cooder returned to Havana's Egram studio with his son, percussionist Joaquim Cooder, and his drummer friend and longtime collaborator, Jim Keltner. They brought with them electric guitars, an electric organ, and all sorts of musical gadgets that are scarce in Havana. They joined some old friends from the Buena Vista sessions, and they were going to meet a Cuban guitar legend, Manuel Galban, the guitarist of a Cuban vocal group, Los Zafiros.
The old people know a lot, and the trick is to catch them before they disappear.
So how did you stumble onto Los Zafiros?
Well, the first thing is, if you walk down any street in Havana at night, buildings are right up to the sidewalk, colonial style, and apartment windows, and everything's open, and the people are out, and you hear what they hear. They have chickens on the porch, and you hear a lot of talking, and you hear music. And you keep hearing this sound of this singing, and I'm thinking as I'm walking along, that's not Cuban, that's some kind of American street corner doo-wop music, but it's in Spanish, what in the heck is it? So then you ask, and then somebody tells you, well, that's Zafiros, that's from the 60s, but we still like it, we still listen to it. So it came from, obviously, the United States and was blended, and then here's this electric guitar guy cooking along and screaming along. So who can this be? But Nick Gould tracked down Manuel Galban, said, is he still around, the guitar player for the Zafiros? Said, yeah, he lives over there. It's easy in Havana. If you're alive at all, you can be found.
Now, who is Nick?
Nick Gould owns and runs the World Circuit Record Company, and it was from him that I got the call to come down to do something, which fatefully turned into Buena Vista Social Club. See, you know how it goes.
So when Nick Gould found Manuel Galban, mm-hmm. Was he still playing music at that time?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. More piano than guitar. He's quite the man down there, and he's very unique because nobody but nobody in Cuba has played guitar like this. He's strictly a renegade.
How does he play the guitar?
Well, first of all, if you saw him, to my mind, musicians usually seem to embody, you know, you look at them and you know what they sound like, if you see what I mean. He's tall, he's strong. This is a guy who means business. And yet, with the gentleness of the Cuban, or with the sort of soft personality of the Cuban blended in, so we're not talking about some heavy equipment operator here, you know. And so he picks it up, and he's going to play the melody of the song very clearly, very correctly, and very forcefully, but with this inflection of something else, and that is, to me, the importation of some of this American pop musical aesthetic of, say, 1950 or even 1960, where we used to play guitar in a kind of a pictorial way. You know, the lonesome guitar strangler, as Mac Rabinac says, you know, bing, bing, you know, deep and kind of solitary almost, you know.
Well, let's listen to one of the cuts. Let's listen to Patricia.
Oh, good. Do you remember this song from Paris Prado?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you this. Do you have memories of this?
Of course. It was a huge hit on the radio, on the AM radio, when AM radio was still going to let you have some fun, you know, instead of beat you over the head or talk you to death.
There was an interesting musical exchange going on then, because in America we were listening to this.
Yeah, Paris Prado.
And they were listening, you know, in there they were listening to doo-wop and early rock and roll.
Right. It was a time of this kind of thing. All over the world, really.
And you're hearing that twang that you're talking about right here.
It's just his, what can I say? It's in his hands, you know.
Who's playing what at this point?
He plays the melody, and I play around him all the time. I comment on him, see.
You're like the punctuation.
Yeah, I comment on what he's playing. Because when he plays the melody, the whole thing's shaped like this, a pyramid. We all go, and then he sticks the melody in at the top.
So as we hear this, just help me understand what he's playing and what you're playing.
You hear this. He plays, for instance, which is the melody. You got to keep it in your ear. Nobody's singing. So he knows he has to stick with it. He can't veer off of it, but I can. I'm fooling around. But he knows that melody's got to be there if nobody's going to sing, or the whole thing falls apart. It's only a 3.5-minute song. A lost art, you see.
Now, what are you playing?
Okay, I'll show you. He plays. Now I go. Now he goes. I'm going with him a bit, up above it. Just goofing, you know. Now I go up top of him. Just having fun, you see. Now we let him finish by himself. It's just the way it was. Every take's different. It's not written, so you know.
How do you know when you got the right take? Because I imagine every time you sat down, you played it differently.
Yeah. You have to listen again later and listen to maybe the next day and find the right one, you know.
What were those recording sessions like?
Oh, well.
Talk to me about the room.
Well, the room is a big old room. The building is kind of a mixed-use building. It's because everything in Havana is part living space, part some other use. Anyway, the studio was on the second floor. This was typical in another era, because they used to feel that there should be air underneath the recording space.
Why is that?
Well, because it's like a diaphragm underneath, and so you get the floor is a membrane more than a barrier. And in E. Graham, the studio there was built for larger ensembles, 20 pieces, string section maybe, active in the 50s.
But you decided on a sextetto.
Yeah.
Why was that important?
Well, because Perez Prado, who created Patricia originally that we just heard, he was so radical that he had to leave Cuba, where they do have quite an ear for tradition, and go to Mexico. And he was received there and hailed as some kind of pioneer. You know, this is new. This is different. This is tremendously exciting. The only thing we can do to make a new statement or make a fresh, interesting statement is to keep it small, really hear the guitars, focus on them. But in order to make that interesting to people, without singing, of course, we got to push it along. It's got to have some horsepower.
You wanted to create a new sound. What I thought was interesting is you said you wanted to create a sound that never was.
Well, yeah, of course, because if you say, I'm simply going to reflect on traditional forms and things, you'll be compared and people will say, I liked Arsenio Rodriguez better, I liked Benny Moré better, what do you think? We can't go there. We just can't do this. I wouldn't do it. So we say to this, okay, if you imagine that somehow this band had existed, let's say in 1959, and somebody had done this, is it feasible? Do you agree with this idea? And I ask Galvan, do you get what I'm saying? Do you agree with this? He said, absolutely. He said, it could have been. He says, there were four-piece doo-wop quartets with electric guitar players all over Havana. They just never are remembered. It came and it went. It's very simple, 3.5-minute jukebox music. As he says, every corner had a bar, and every bar had a jukebox. That's a 10-cent beer and a 5-cent record. He said, this is how you serenaded your girlfriend. She lives up above the bar. You play the song you want her to hear. Cuba's like a Swiss cheese. Everybody hears everybody. So that song is going to waft up there to that room. And this is how you speak, you know, this is how you talk. Now, isn't that appealing? We love that idea. Let's do that.
Were there certain things that you were able to do to sort of lubricate those sessions, either through
rum,
sharing smokes,
I'll tell you
sharing
what it is.
Stories?
Well, yeah, but the playback is the thing. Everybody comes in, and of course, for most of these guys, some of them, like Cachito Lopez, have been on 10,000 sessions, and he's heard 10,000 playbacks. But there's still something very great about this. Do you like the sound? It sounds fantastic. Big. We make sure. First job. Get the sound. Make the instruments beautiful. Everybody has this halo of air around them in this tremendous job. We're working very hard. They know that. They can see it. Moving microphones, fixing levels. But the playback is very compelling. Then everybody can think to themselves, I'm here. I'm respected. I'm well represented. And the combined effect is fantastic. It feels so great. Then you go get your shot. Then you go get your cigarette or your coffee, knowing that you're in good hands, you know.
All right. Ry Cooter, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Guitarist Ry Cooter, his CD with Manuel Galban comes out tomorrow. It's called Mambo Sinuendo.